Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as we've already talked about, this is Labor Day weekend. It's a Monday as a holiday in honor of the work we do, and we call the work that we do our jobs. And for each job, there is a job description. When Bruce and I started thinking about returning to MCC and considered the job of area directors for Central and West Africa, we asked to see the job description. And it's a long one. There are many, many facets to that job. The list of things to be covered is extensive. And at first glance, it seemed rather daunting. However, as we looked down the list of the tasks, we said to each other, well, yeah, that looks right, and that sounds familiar. Well, we've done that before. And by the time we got to the end, we were able to look at each other in confidence and say, well, this will be a learning curve, but I think we can do this. Thanks to the job description, we understand in detail what the job demands. Well, as I read and reflected on our scripture passage from Romans 12, it struck me. This is a job description. It's a job description for followers of Jesus. In very accessible language, a series of short descriptive phrases, we are given clear and precise instructions. In order to be a Jesus disciple, you need to do these things. It's all laid out there. A comprehensive job description. It's even in the form of a checklist, made ready to be referred to when it comes time for that well-loved annual evaluation. Let's see. Am I doing my job well? Am I covering all the bases? Well, this Romans 12 job description, I've had it printed on the back of your joys and concerns in the bulletin. And I had it printed sort of in the style of how we saw our job on that MCC job description. And like that job description, at first glance, it can look a little long and daunting. But I bet as you look down this list and as you've heard it read, you think, well, yeah, this is familiar. It's challenging, yes, but it makes sense. There may be a learning curve, but with help, yeah, I can do this job. Well, actually, if I were the one in charge, I'd tweak the layout of this job description a bit, and I'd start where the passage ends. Your job, I'd say to potential disciples, is this: do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh my, they'd respond, well, that's a tall order. How on earth do we do that? Well, here's where you'd start, I'd say. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Can you be a little more specific? Sure. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And do this with panache. Be fervent in your devotion. Stay focused on your goal, which is serving the Lord. But what does this mean practically? Could you be a little more concrete? Of course. Be happy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Know that there is always cause for rejoicing because you have hope in God. Live into this hope. And at the same time, know that there will be pain and suffering. Enter into this fully with each other. Don't avoid it or sweep it under the rug. Weep with those who weep. And be patient. Wait on the Lord. Keep praying. That's very important. Don't be stingy. Contribute to the needs around you. Extend hospitality to strangers. And do your best to live in harmony with each other. You can do this by not being haughty. No one is better than anyone else in God's eyes. Hang out with those who might be considered lowly. And remember that you never know the whole story. Always be ready to listen and to learn. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. But what does this have to do with overcoming evil with good? These potential disciples might ask. Ah, that's where this job gets tricky. You are not only supposed to do all this good stuff with and for those you know and love, or those who seem trustworthy and deserving. You are also supposed to do it with and for those who are out to get you, those who make your life and the life of others miserable, those who are not playing fair, your enemies, you might say. Here is how you are to respond to them. Do not repay evil, anyone evil for evil. Instead, think about what is noble and right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Yeah, I mean it. That's part of the job. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And that means everyone. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Your job doesn't include vengeance or getting even. That's above your pay grade. You need to leave that to God. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because this is Labor Day weekend and we're thinking about work, I want to share a story of a business which seems to be taking this calling, this Romans 12 job description, to heart. This is a story written by Dorcas Changtozin for the July 24 issue of Epistle, which is the online magazine for evangelicals for social action. The article is entitled, Crossing Cultures to Fight Hate. Dorcas Changtozin writes, Muammar Khadija was only a young boy when the Bosnian War of the 1990s hit his hometown. He and his family fled to Denmark, and he eventually ended up in California in the MBA program at Stanford's Business School. Now he's demonstrating that business can not only develop economies, but it can also bring people together in powerful ways. Using his education and his connections, Khadija partnered with co-founder Harris Memick in 2009 to build a fast-growing software company named Symphony. They collaborate with some of Silicon Valley's most recognized names, augmenting these companies' projects with additional engineering expertise from the Balkans. So why am I telling their story? This work sounds like standard high-tech fare, except for one important difference. Khadija and Memick see their business as a culture-driven technology house. And a big part of that culture is using Symphony as a platform to address economic and social wounds from that long-ago Bosnian conflict. Symphony's first office was established at Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Khadija and Memick knew that their fellow Bosnians have plenty to offer in the way of skill and talent. What they lack is opportunity. Today, the unemployment rate in Bosnia-Herzegovina is a staggering 40%. The youth unemployment rate has approached 60% in recent years. As a result, many educated Bosnians leave the country, mostly to Germany or the U.S., in search of better opportunities for professional work. To help stem the brain drain, Khadija and Memick want to create ecosystems where they are and democratize access to great work. They have worked hard to make their company as attractive as possible to talented engineers, modeling their office design after Google's workplaces, prioritizing opportunities for growth and travel, and offering the chance to collaborate with renowned Silicon Valley firms on leading-edge projects. But the entrepreneurs took their vision one step further. When they were ready to expand their operations to a second office, they chose to locate it in Belgrade, the capital of Serbia, which still has an uneasy relationship with Bosnia more than 20 years after the war. Serbia has a more modest unemployment rate of 13%, but the threat of brain drain there is real as well. Rather than siloing these two offices to avoid potential ethnic conflict, Kaseja and Memic intentionally bring their Bosnian and Serbian teams together. They collaborate on the same projects. Employees from one country are regularly sent to work in the other country, facilitating the development of close one-on-one relationships with their colleagues. There is mutual respect and welcoming, Kaseja explains. They engage as engineers, not based on nationality. They ask, what can we achieve together? And this kind of collaboration doesn't happen by accident. Symphony recruits employees who demonstrate empathy and openness. The company promotes a culture of feedback, learning, and growth. Symphony has taken the best of what Silicon Valley has to offer, innovation, teamwork, diversity, empowerment, and applied it in a context that has been defined more by economic struggle and social unrest and mistrust. Not only do the company's employees take pride in the high-level work they do, but Kaseja reports that he regularly observes old ethnic stereotypes and prejudices falling away. In their place, he sees trust, camaraderie, and respect. They realize how similar people are across cultures, Kaseja said, and they see the value of diversity. Every region has its strengths and brings a uniqueness to how they think. It's additive. The whole gets better. The software business currently has 85 employees across its two offices and is already planning its expansion into another Balkan country, Macedonia. According to Kaseja, it's another untapped pool of talent, and it provides Symphony yet another opportunity to tear down cross-cultural barriers and to grow their global community of engineers. That's the end of the story from Dorcas Chang-Tozen. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is not a pipe dream. As we see in this story, there are very practical, down-to-earth ways of doing that. In Bosnia and Serbia, the enmity is strong. It would be very easy for evil to keep the upper hand. To be consumed with vengeful thoughts or to be led into putting such thoughts into action is to keep evil in circulation. The way to overcome evil, rather than to perpetuate it, is to take its force and to give back goodness instead. Mr. Kaseja and Mr. Memic creatively chose this second way, and we can do that as well. We can do that here, right in here, in our own country. We can do this in our neighborhoods and our communities. We can overcome the evil of hate and distrust and fear with a strong and creative commitment to the common good. As followers of Jesus, this is, after all, our job description. In his book, The Violence of Love, Archbishop Oscar A. Romero wrote, "The common good will not be attained by excluding people. We can't enrich the common good of our country by driving out those we don't care for. We have to try to bring out all that is good in each person and try to develop an atmosphere of trust, not with physical force as though dealing with irrational beings, but with a moral force that draws out the good in everyone. This is our charge, but we are not running blind, sisters and brothers. We have received instructions on how we are to put this moral force into action." I'd like you now to please take this insert from your bulletin. And let's reread our job description together. I want to do this point by point. Folks on your left, start, read the first point, and then the folks on the right, read the second point, and back and forth, until we're done. Start over here. Let love be genuine.
Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God strengthen our resolve to do the job to which we have been called. Amen.
For our hymn of response, we will sing, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" It's hymn number 307. And would you stand as you are able?